Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Tonight we're going to be speaking about, specifically I want to speak about sanghas, satsanga and sadhusanga. Satsanga means association of devotees, and sadhusanga means association of the elevated souls, the sadhus. So if you were with us last week, then we talked in general about the panchanga bhaktis. Panchanga Bhakti, the five most important practices of devotional service, Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtan, hearing Bhagavatam, deity worship, and living in the holy place. So tonight at first I want to begin speaking about the importance of Sadhu Sangha. We'll see how far we get, and then we can speak about the other Panchangas. Last week we spoke a little bit about the concept of synergy. There are Panchanga Bhakti, these five practices of Bhakti, create a synergistic effect. So, for example, hearing the Bhagavatam helps your japa. Or obviously associating with the devotees helps everything. Or maintains your Krishna consciousness. And deity worship purifies us of the lower modes of nature. And that also helps our chanting. And the chanting helps gain an attraction or affinity for deity worship or for hearing and serving the Vaishnava. And association with the Vaishnavas is how we become inspired to do the other practices, how we imbibe higher qualities, how we overcome many of our own weaknesses through association. So the idea of association, it's obvious in a sense what association does. There's this concept that if you want to know what a man is like, then you just have to know who he associates with. What's the saying? You could know a man by his company. Probably heard that. So if I know who you are friends with, if I know who you are hanging out with, I can assume what you're like or what you've become. And then we spoke last time about Tarzan, who was raised in the jungle. Not by humans, but by apes or gorillas. So he became like them. So then the understanding for a devotee is, if I'm going to become like those I associate with, then I should seek the best possible association I can get. And in one sense, all devotees are good association. So first principle is I should seek devotee association. And within that association, I should seek like-minded association. I should seek the association of those who can inspire me in particular ways. Or you could say, I should associate with those whose qualities I would like to imbibe. Of course, sometimes we don't have a choice of who we associate with, so we associate with devotees in general. So that's the basic principle, because we'll become like those with whom we associate, be it if we want to become devotees, or we want to become business people, or we want to become good musicians, athletes, whatever it is, we tend to become like those we associate with. So, now there's an interesting verse where is this verse? This verse is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what this verse is saying is, not only is there the injunction that we should associate with devotees, but there's also the injunction to avoid association with non-devotees. So I'll read the verse, Satsanga Tyaga. A Vaishnava Charya, a satsanga. So we're talking about satsanga. Satsanga means, sat means the truth, or those who are dedicated to the truth. And sangha means association. So sat refers to the devotees. So asat means those who are not devotees. A satsanga tyaga. Tyaga means to renounce, to give up. A satsanga tyaga, a Vaishnava Acharya. That is the behavior of a Vaishnava. To give up the association of non-devotees is the behavior of a Vaishnava. Stri Sangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhakta Ar. So what is the definition of a non-devotee? Well, particularly in this verse, it says, those who are attached, overly attached, to sex and women, and those who are against the principles of Krishna Bhakti. We should avoid their association. Particularly these two persons are classified as specific two kinds of people we should avoid, whose association we should avoid. So what's the line of thinking? Well, we have a nice verse from the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who gave us words of wisdom in the Bhagavatam, and this is what he said. He said, like a mirror, A person takes on the qualities of those with whom he comes in contact. One who is intelligent should therefore seek the company of those who have the same ideals in order to develop their good qualities in himself. So, it's interesting the way bhakti works, because a lot of what's happening in our life is just our, how should we say, we are being, I don't want to say manipulated or controlled, but we're being influenced or empowered by the association we keep. And so we have control of the association, either through the way we think, the environment which we place ourselves in, or the people we associate with, or how we respond to environments in which we have no control. So we're reflecting what's going on around us. And so you could say we're being empowered or disempowered. Just like if you go to the Holy Dom, if you've ever been to the Holy Dom, you get empowered by the atmosphere in the Dom. So even though you may come there spiritually weak, not so inspired by being there, what happens, Uddhava, when you go to the Holy Dom? Isn't it like you become somebody different? You're just, the environment is so uplifting that even if you don't feel so uplifted, it uplifts you. So it's almost like you become a little bit of a different person. You become more Krishna conscious than you normally are. You're more inspired in devotional service. You're more inclined in devotional service. You're more attracted to the processes of bhakti because that's the atmosphere you're in. So that atmosphere is empowering you. Similarly, if we hear from a sadhu or we associate with an advanced devotee, we're imbibing the qualities of that person, we're imbibing the realizations of that person. So we're becoming empowered by that sangha, by that environment, by that katha, by that sound vibration. So we're being elevated almost as if it's out of our control, almost as if we're not doing anything. And we're just putting ourselves in a situation. It's kind of like I would say sailing a boat. Or nowadays they surf with sails and do so many things with sails. So it's the wind that's pushing you. So if it's a windy day, you're going to go faster. So you're manipulating the sails, but ultimately it's the wind that's pushing you. So we can kind of manipulate situations in which we can get more Krishna consciousness. Even when we're chanting japa, the japa, the holy name, is influencing us. So if we're chanting well, the influence is stronger. So we are chanting well, but ultimately it's not us that's purifying ourselves, it's the holy name that's purifying ourselves. But by chanting well or chanting better, the holy name is having more influence on us. Just as if you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or you're hearing any scripture, the more attentively you hear, the more purposefully you hear, the more that vibration will influence you, even though someone else may hear it and fall asleep, or may hear it and not understand, or may hear it and not be interested, or just be distracted. So what we're doing in Krishna consciousness is making the effort to put ourselves in association, in environments, or create internal environments which uplift us. And so you can see also that when you're engaged in the material world and you allow the modes of nature or degrading environments to affect you, then they empower you, or we can say they disempower you. But I'll use the word empowerment because I think they empower us in the negative sense, but they're moving us in a way of thinking and a way of acting, and you can feel this. And sometimes it's kind of like we may feel a little bit schizophrenic. In other words, we can put ourselves in very good association, be very inspired, and then get in bad association, and we like become another person. So our thoughts change, our desires change, motives may change, aspirations, intentions may change. When you come in the association of a pure devotee, your desire to serve Krishna increases. It becomes natural, it flows freely. When you come in contact with ordinary persons, especially like this verse says, persons attached to sex desire, then what happens? You become more sexually agitated because these things are there within us and they're being stimulated. Just as our Krishna consciousness is within us, it becomes stimulated by the right association. So in bad association, the lust becomes stimulated, or the anger, or the greed, or the envy becomes stimulated. So that's how That's how our lives are functioning. They're functioning by the influences which are empowering us to be a certain way, according to the environment, the association, what we're reading, what we're hearing, who we're associating with, how we're responding to the environment, the thoughts we have, the attitudes we have. It's all creating an environment which is feeding back on us. And then that's molding our attitudes, it's molding our desires, it's molding our goals. So that's why we see ourselves, we become different people when we're in different environments. So the goal of Krishna consciousness, as far as possible, is to create environments which uplift and empower us. Because if we do the things that uplift us, or we create environments which uplift us, or we place ourselves in environments which uplift us and avoid environments which are detrimental, then there's this energy that's just pushing us up. It's automatic. It's kind of like you get in the airplane and it takes off. So your job was to get in the airplane, but once you're in there, it does everything else. So maybe you had to work, make the money, you had to travel to the airport, buy your ticket, and so forth. So you had to do some work, but once you're in the airplane, it goes. So similarly, there's so much work we do, but really we're doing work to elevate ourselves. So we're being influenced, at least by sattva gun, if not the transcendental shuddha sattva. So that's what sadhana is also all about. It's a practice which puts us in an environment which will uplift us. Not that the practice per se is uplifting us, but the result of the practice is what's uplifting us. Or you could say the mercy of Krishna through the practice, mercy of Guru through the practice is uplifting us. So we can become very, very different persons based on association. So that's why this verse is there, that the behavior of a Vaishnava, one of the standards of behavior of a Vaishnava, is to avoid non-devotee association because of the influence, because it will spark, it will inspire the lower qualities within us, because we're in this position of still the devotee and the demon in the same body. So we come in association of non-devotees, it stimulates that lower nature of ours. And it can be very easily stimulated. It doesn't take very long if we're not careful. So associating with devotees and avoiding the association of non-devotees, because it's like a mirror and we're reflecting the qualities of those with whom we associate. So that should make sense to us in a way that we look for and seek out the association of advanced devotees, or at least when I say advanced, devotees who want to talk about how to advance in Krishna consciousness, devotees who are more concerned about advancing in Krishna consciousness than other things. If you associate with them, you become inspired, you want to advance also. So it's very easy in that sense to be inspired in Krishna consciousness. You seek a good association, and in that environment you become inspired. Even you're not that inspired, you'll become inspired. Okay, now, what is the effect of associating with non-devotees? There's a very heavy verse. I'm going to read some verses and they're heavy. And Shastra is often heavy because we are dull. And sometimes the only way to cut through dull consciousness is with heavy words. Otherwise, it doesn't shake us up or it doesn't wake us up. So if Shastra needs to cut through to a level where we understand something which may not be so easy for us to understand, then it's got to use sharp words that pierce the heart a little bit. So here's a verse with, I don't want to say it's heart-piercing, but it's very heavy. This verse is from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and it's quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as well. Better to be locked in a cage surrounded by burning flames than to suffer in the association of those who dislike thinking of Krishna. Better to suffer being locked in a cage surrounded by flames than to suffer in the association of those who dislike thinking of Krishna. So why this heavy verse? There's another verse in Bhagavatam which Mahaprabhu quotes. And he said, it's better It's better to drink poison than to associate with those who are attached to women. So what he means by that is, by that association, one's spiritual life will be destroyed. So better you kill yourself before you destroy your spiritual life. And so this verse is saying something similar. Better be locked in a cage surrounded by fire. That means probably you'll burn to death. But that death will not be as severe as the death to your spiritual life that you will accrue or will be inevitable through the association of those who are attached, overly attached to women, those who are antagonistic to the principles of devotional service, or those who are gross materialists, just engaged in searching out women, wine, money, and power and prestige. I'm going to read some other verses. Now, there's another thing in our scriptures that you're probably aware of, and that is association with those who deny the personal form of Krishna, whom are known as Mayavadis. And their philosophy or their idea is that God has no form. And Mahaprabhu says they are chopping off the head and the arms and the legs of the form of Krishna, the beautiful form. They're cutting it off and saying he has no form. And they're saying that rather they themselves are that supreme. So the way Prabhupada explains this, he says, in the guise of spirituality, it's actually the grossest form of materialism, because now the person is renouncing in order to achieve a bigger goal or greater materialistic goal, which is to become God. And the Shastra says, Mayavadi aparadhi. Mayavadi Krishna aparadhi. These Mayavadis are the greatest offenders to Krishna, because they're annihilating Krishna. And it's said that even a great devotee, if he hears this philosophy, it's so contaminating. It can actually contaminate his heart to the point where he falls down from Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada speaks very, very strongly in his lectures and in his books against Mayavadi philosophy, sometimes shouting, sometimes yelling, because they're such offenders. And so the warning we get is, you may respect them, many of them are sannyasis, you may respect them from a distance, but don't associate, because your heart will be contaminated. And Mahaprabhu came to defeat all the Mayavadis, and he did defeat them. He revealed their nonsense philosophy. And this philosophy is very, very prominent, because it appears to be spiritual, but it's just covered materialism. So many people who want to look spiritual or think they're spiritual, who don't really want to do what you have to do to be spiritual, they very much like this philosophy. And so by associating with them, we think, oh yeah, I can be spiritual without giving up so much. I can be spiritual. I can become God. I can be the ultimate. So we all came to the material world to be God. So now here's a very attractive philosophy. You can become God. So this is, of course, by strict, hardcore Mayavadis are not so prominent in America, but in the spiritual circles, if you listen to them long enough, you will hear most of the time, at least when it comes to the Eastern sects and Buddhist sects, you will hear this Mayavad or Nirvisheshavad philosophy. Everything is void, there is no God, or God is formless, we are God. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about the detrimental association of those who are attached to women, or in the case of women, those who are overly attached to men. Here is a statement from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Indeed, there is no enchantment more powerful, no bondage for one more sure than that which comes through the association of the opposite sex and through the association of the sensualist. By keeping such company, one loses the qualities of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, intelligence, modesty, beauty, reputation, forgiveness, control of the mind and senses, and good fortune. Now you may say, how is that possible? Well, in the Bhagavatam it describes the life of Ajamil, and Ajamil was married and became attached to a prostitute, and he developed so many bad qualities because of that attachment. And so Prabhupada says, sexual control is essential for a human being. And if a human being is not sexually controlled, it draws him down into lower modes of nature. And in the lower modes of nature, these qualities exist. These lower qualities exist. So we strive to be in the mode of in Satvagun, the mode of goodness. In Satvagun, so many good qualities develop. So now, if you want to be in Satvagun, if you want to be somewhat self-disciplined and controlled, if you associate with those who are attached to the opposite sex, that will influence your own desire. It will draw you towards or draw out desires more strongly than perhaps would normally be there. After all, we're products of our culture, we're products of our environment. So by that association, it will arouse those desires more strongly than normal. And then we may become overly attached to the opposite sex and not be able to control that. And that has so many ramifications. So, you know, the average, there's so many people who are attached to the opposite sex beyond what is reasonable. And so this is just a warning that by keeping their association, we'll also become attached, and that attachment is the cause of bondage. So in Krishna consciousness, we're either practicing brahmachari life or we're practicing restrained grihastha life. So in either case, the whole point is to restrain our sexual desires. So therefore, if you're trying to restrain yourself, you don't want to associate with those who are unrestrained, because it's very, very easy to lose control of this desire because it's so powerful. Do you know that more than 50% of married men cheat on their wives? And something like 30% of women cheat on their husbands. I mean, maybe not, it's not necessarily a regular affair, but they have cheated. So this desire always needs to be controlled. And so association is very, very important in this regard. Okay, more heavy stuff for you guys. I hope this is not too heavy for you, but Shastra is heavy. Okay, we're going to read something more about Mayavads, so maybe this will help you understand it. And this is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and this is Mahaprabhu speaking about what he thinks about the Mayavadis, the ones who think that Krishna and themselves and the Jiva are the same, they're all one. The Vedic scriptures describe me as being without hands or feet, with no face or eyes. In this way, they make a mockery of me. In Kashi, there is a fool named Prakashananda who is teaching this doctrine. He too cuts my body into little pieces. He teaches the Vedic scriptures, but does not accept the truth of my eternal form. As a result of his offenses, his body has been covered with leprosy, but still he refuses to understand. My body is eternally pure and the embodiment of all the Vedic sacrifices. Brahma and Shiva glorify my activities. Whoever touches my body gains spiritual merit and becomes purified of sin. But this insolent fool thinks that it is the illusory, that it is illusory. My body is illusory. Murari. Listen, Murari, and I will tell you the confidential essence of the Vedic teaching. I am the incarnation of Jagya Varaha, the cream of the Vedic literature, who previously lifted up the world. Now I have come in this form to preach the Sankirtan movement. For the sake of the devotees, I will destroy the wicked. I am unable to tolerate those who act as the enemy of my devotees. Even if he is my own son, I will destroy them. So Mahaprabhu is not very fond of the Mayavadis. And in this pastime which is being described, the Mayavadis more or less were the enemies of the devotees. They don't accept the devotees' conclusions. They mock the devotees. This is another verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Whoever denies the Lord's transcendental form is certainly an atheist. One should neither see nor touch such a person who will be punished by the Lord of death. So it's actually polluting to see them. So we're just making the point of the effects of associating with persons who are against Krishna, which is practically everybody out there. Now, what a lot of people do, people are religious, so they believe in God, but they use God to fulfill their material ambitions. And so they're using religion not as a process of spiritual life, not as a process to gain freedom from their lower nature, to gain liberation, to purify their heart, but just as a process to increase their material life. So that influence is also bad, because they are materialist, but they're using a spiritual process to further facilitate their materialism. Okay, so here, the idea is what's being described is that when you associate with materialistic people, you don't become free from material desire. You can't become free. Rather, your material desires increase. And so Chaitanya Charitamrita says, if desires for sense enjoyment and liberation find a place in a devotee's heart, all his practice of devotional activities will not result in love of Krishna. So in other words, as devotees, we're always trying to protect our heart. Just like there's this story we told. I think it was Gopal Chapala. And he became envious of Thakurdas. And then Mahaprabhu met him and he said, your heart is the most sacred place. Why have you allowed envy to enter your heart? So here what's being said is, as devotees, we want to protect our hearts from material desire. Because material desire is the antithesis of bhakti. We want to love Krishna. We want to serve Krishna. We exist for Krishna's pleasure. And so if we associate with materialistic people, they exist for their own pleasure. And by that association, it stimulates our own lower nature. So in protecting our heart, we have to, so to speak, defend ourselves. So now we should describe, well, what do we mean by association? Because so many people out there that we associate with. Well, basic idea of association is creating friendship, particularly intimate friendship. Sometimes we may have some passing light friendship because we're working with someone or we see them regularly, but it's not intimate. If we associate with them intimately, that's when we start to become influenced. So we don't want to associate so intimately that we're influenced by them. In some cases, we may not want to associate at all with them if we can avoid it, because their association is so polluting. Because all they're thinking about is women, money, prestige. And even if they're not speaking, just by being around them, you'll be influenced. Just by being around a pure devotee, you'll be influenced just by their thinking. Because they're Krishna conscious. And so you'll be influenced by their Krishna consciousness. So that's the idea. So here is what Narottam Das Thakur says. In the Prema Bhakti Chandrika, he says, what can lust, anger, and greed do to the practitioner who has the association of saintly persons? So he's given the opposite idea here, that if we have the association of the sadhu, of devotees, then material desires cannot overcome us. We'll not be overcome by material desires. But we'll imbibe the qualities of the sadhu, and we'll be successful in our bhakti. So it's really like the secret here. This is the foundation. So I wanted to read some things about the importance of associating with devotees. Because I don't want to make this all negative here. So I want to find, I'm reading a book here. This is called Serve the Devotees. So I would like to read some verses, unless you have some comments. It is okay. Pallavi says, is Chaitanya Bhagavat the same as Gaurang Bhagavat? I'm not familiar with Gaurang Bhagavat. I only know Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. If you know who wrote Gauranga Bhagavat, then I doubt it's the same book because it's got a different name. There are many books that were written about the life of Lord Chaitanya, but Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat are the main two biographies of Mahaprabhu. Okay, here's a wonderful verse. This is also from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll chant the Bengali, because it's such a nice verse. Krishna bhakti janma mula hoy sadhu sangha. Krishna prema janme tenho puna mukya anga. The root cause of devotional service to Krishna is association with advanced devotees. The root cause. The root cause of devotional service to Krishna is the association of advanced devotees. What's the root cause? That's right. The root cause is association with advanced devotees. Very good. And when one's love for Krishna awakens, the association with devotees becomes the chief element in one's devotional service. Isn't that an interesting verse? It's both the root cause and the chief element in the perfectional stage. So, in other words, it's not that you associate with devotees until you become perfect, and when you become perfect, you give it up. But both in the stage of practice and in the stage of perfection, it's the most essential element. Again, this verse says the root cause of Krishna consciousness, of devotional service, is association with advanced devotees. And then, when love of Krishna awakens, the association with the devotees is the chief element. It's still the main thing. It's always the main thing in devotional service, in any stage of devotional service. Devotion to Krishna is the fruit of association with devotees. When that devotion attains its most mature state and is transformed into pure love of God, then associating with devotees continues to be the essential expression of such love. Pallavi says she saw this book, Gauranga Bhagavat, in the Krishna store, and Udi's trying to figure it out. I do not think it's the same as Chaitanya Bhagavat. I've never heard of it. But first read Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Prabhupada gave us that first. You don't have to read the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita at one time, but read it little bit by little bit, or you can read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Get a summary of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. Now, another aspect of Sangha is there are different kinds of devotees. So we want to associate with devotees who are more advanced than ourselves. We want to associate with pure devotees. That's the idea. Okay, so here's something. Ramananda Basu and his father Satyaraj Khan were exemplary householders from the village of Kalinagram, amongst Mahaprabhu's dearest followers. Once they came to see the Lord in Puri and asked him about a householder's duties, Mahaprabhu answered them in detail, advising all householders everywhere they have three principal duties: serving the deity form, chanting the holy name, and serving the Vaishnavas. So serving the Vaishnavas is very important. Mahatsevam dwaram ahurvimuktes. It is said by serving the Mahatmas, the doors to liberation are open. And it is also said in the second canto of Bhagavatam that by serving the devotee, one gains an attraction for hearing about Krishna. And one also, as we've said many times, one also imbibes through osmosis the qualities of those who one serves. So, if you like to have the qualities of a particular person, serve them. You'll get their qualities. That's a nice secret to take home tonight. So, here's another verse. all the great virtues manifest in a Vaishnava's body. For it is said that all of Krishna's virtues are transferred to his devotee. I'll read that again. All the great virtues manifest in a Vaishnava's body. For it is said that all of Krishna's virtues are transferred to his devotee. Amazing. So, there are 26 qualities described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the pure devotees have. He's kind, humble, meek, compassionate, doesn't eat more than required, doesn't talk nonsense like that. So these are Krishna's qualities, as being stated here, that are found in the body of the Vaishnava. These qualities are described, they're described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and they're characteristics of a pure devotee. The essential characteristic is Krishnaika Sharana. He has taken complete shelter of Krishna. So one of the 26 qualities is that he's completely surrendered to Krishna, but that's the primary quality, the foundational quality. So here's a nice verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I believe these are verses spoken by Kapila Dev to his mother. Well, there's a couple of verses. I thought I'd read them all just to give you a flavor from the Bhagavatam of how it describes the saintly persons and how particularly it describes the value of associating with them. Saintly persons who are tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all creatures, who do not make enemies and are peaceful, are jewels amongst the pious. With their emotions fixed exclusively in me, these sadhus engage in staunch devotional service to me. For my sake, they have renounced all activities, as well as their family relationships and friendships. In other words, a devotee gives everything to Krishna. And even if they renounce their family, and they don't leave their family, it means they renounce proprietorship, ownership. They don't think, I'm the owner of the wife or the children or the home or the wealth. And they use that for Krishna. Taking shelter of me, they engage in constantly hearing and chanting about me. The various kinds of material miseries do not affect them because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. O virtuous lady, sadhus such as these are free from all attachment. You should pray for the association of such saintly persons, for that will counteract the ill effects of contact with unholy persons. Now the word here is pernicious effects. It will counteract the pernicious effects, the ill effects, the contaminating effects of association with non-devotees. So association with devotees is really a panacea. It's really the cure-all. So I want to take that herb or that medicine. It will cure all my diseases. Well, really, sadhusanga. This is, if you want a quick cure for any ills in spiritual life, it's to hear from and associate with the sadhu. Because the sadhu, by his presence and by his words, just kind of washes clean our consciousness and cuts right to the core of our problems. And he addresses them. And he inspires us to go on in Krishna consciousness. I believe we were talking last week how for so many devotees, it's a relationship with another Vaishnava that is their link to Krishna consciousness. That's what inspires them. That's why they do service. Just like I was saying, we as young men and women sacrificed the best years of our life to serve Srila Prabhupada. Because there was so much affection in that guru-disciple relationship, we wanted to give everything to Prabhupada. That was our happiness, to give whatever we had to him. So that became the impetus, the desire to please an advanced devotee. That's how Krishna consciousness works. We want to please the superior Vaishnavas. We want to serve them. And that becomes the impetus to go further in Krishna consciousness. And that counteracts the ill effects of contact with material energy and materialistic persons. So, take advantage of this. Here's a wonderful verse. This is also from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is all being recorded. If I'm overloading you, you'll be able to see this again. If you go to krishna.com/mahatma, you'll get the audio. And if you go to who knows what, Uddhava, to get the video. /TV. Krishna.com/TV. And then what do?
You scroll down.
And we have many other videos there. For the last 3 years, we have videos. Scroll down and you look for what? Sadhana?
There's a dedicated channel.
Yeah, anyway, if you have trouble, you can email Uddhava. So, Gauranga Gita, yeah, okay. Gauranga Gita, yeah. Okay, so here's a nice verse. Similar to what we're talking about. Krishna Bhakti Janma Mula Hoya Saru Sangha. Krishna Prema Janma Tenho Puna Mukya Anga. The root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Even after one's dormant love for Krishna has awakened, association with such devotees remains one's primary devotional activity. So we read, either we read that verse earlier or this is a similar verse. But the same idea, the root cause of devotional service is Krishna bhakti, and it continues in the purified state, in the liberated state, in the perfected state. So, now in the Bhagavatam there's a story of a king named Rahugana. And King Rahugana met Judd Bharat. He didn't realize that Judd Bharat was a great saintly person. But Judd Bharat, through his several words that he spoke to King Rahugana and his behavior, made King Rahugana realize that he was a saintly person. And they had a conversation, and this is what Judd Bharat said to him. He said, "O Rahugana, one cannot realize the absolute truth unless one smears one's entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees." So what does it mean to smear your body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees? Where are you going to get that dust? I mean, their feet aren't dusty, are they? And if they're not walking in the dust, where will you get the dust? Of course, you could come here to Alachua, there's a lot of dust, a lot of sand. So really smearing your body with the dust of the lotus feet means three things as described in the Bhagavad Gita. You approach the spiritual master submissively, you inquire, and you serve. This is the relationship. Submissively means you want to learn and you're not going to challenge. You're open to the instruction. So then you inquire, how can I serve? How can I advance in Krishna consciousness? How can I serve you? So submissive inquiries and service. That's really what it means to bathe in the dust. And once the devotee said, "Well, Prabhupada, how do we inquire from you?" He says, we don't have your association. Very few devotees have your personal association. He said, reading my books is that inquiry. So by reading Prabhupada's books, we're also bathing in the dust of the pure devotee. And by serving him, we're also bathing in the dust, or serving any great devotee, or hearing from any great devotee. We're, you could say, bathing in the dust of their feet. Such realization cannot come from penances and austerities. Performing sacrifice, renunciation of family life, or undergoing severe penances such as keeping oneself submerged in water in winter, surrounding oneself by fire and the scorching heat of the sun in the summer. In other words, it's saying you can make all kinds of sacrifices, do all kinds of austerities, but the real thing is serving the great devotees. Smearing your entire body, serving and hearing. So that's you're going to get more result from that than from any great austerity you can perform. And then when you hear from them, they're going to tell you to hear from the Bhagavatam, they're going to tell you to chant Hare Krishna, they're going to tell you to associate with devotees, they're going to tell you to live in a holy place. So they're going to tell you to engage in devotional service. Okay. Now, no discussion on the value of associating with devotees would be complete without a little talk about avoiding offenses to devotees. Correct? Does that make sense? Here is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone who, upon hearing blasphemy of the Lord, or those who have dedicated their lives to him, does not leave the scene immediately, falls down and loses all the merit he has previously earned. In other words, what to speak of speaking blasphemous words against a devotee? We should not even hear from another person. We should immediately leave. So it's that detrimental. It is called aparadha. Aradhana means to worship. And aparadha means to distance oneself from worship. So that's the result of blasphemy of a Vaishnava. We distance ourselves from worship. Now it's interesting to note that in one purport in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada equated fault-finding with sinful activities on the level of illicit sex and meat eating. So how is that? Because it's so detrimental to bhakti, it's as detrimental as illicit sex and meat eating. Interesting, isn't it? So Vaishnava aparad can destroy our bhakti. So you have these polarizations. On one side, we're saying association of devotees is the root cause of bhakti, and in the perfectional stage of bhakti, that association continues to nourish bhakti. And on the other side, we're saying that offense to the devotee will destroy bhakti. So, you know, trying to make it clear, just if you just see it in this way, this is where you get bhakti through service to the Vaishnavas, and you get it through their mercy, because their mercy comes down in reciprocation to the service. And Krishna is pleased when you serve them. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado. So you serve a devotee, Krishna is pleased automatically. So you make advancement, you please Krishna. And you criticize a devotee, automatically Krishna's heart, because the sadhu was in his heart, so Krishna's heart is hurt. So now you're displeasing Krishna. So then that begins to affect your bhakti. It could uproot it, it could destroy it. So you have to be, you always want to be careful to honor the Vaishnavas and avoid criticism. Okay, now I'm going to open this up for questions. So here, Sneha is saying, associating with non-devotees influences our consciousness. Why this does not always work in the opposite direction? I assume you mean, why doesn't the association of devotees influence our consciousness in a proper way? Is that what you're asking? Sneha, I think that's what you're asking. Anyway.
It could mean that the non-devotees she's associating with will become better devotees because
that's true. Associated with non-devotees influences our consciousness. Why this does not work in the opposite direction? Oh, you mean opposite? Why don't we influence them? Very good question. Well, sometimes it does work in the opposite direction. But generally, our association, the thing is, we don't technically call that when we are trying to help someone become Krishna conscious. Or they're at least in some way open to Krishna consciousness, open to learning about it, we don't really classify that as association with non-devotees. We classify that as a devotional activity, kirtan or preaching. But if we're not associating on that level, if the relationship is not such that this person recognizes you as someone who has something valuable which you can give them, and they want to learn from you how to get it, then, and the relationship is more of equals or friends, closely associating together to enjoy sense gratification together, then naturally we'll be influenced. So if you're a very advanced devotee, naturally you'll influence people, even those who aren't interested. But still, some people may never be interested, so no matter how pure you are, you may not be able to influence them dramatically in this lifetime. And so their basic frame of reference or attitude will be materialism. So the more you become Krishna conscious, the more influence you'll have on other people, the more Krishna conscious they'll become. That we have to admit. That's a fact. But that doesn't mean to extend yourself to the point where you become influenced. And so if you're becoming negatively influenced by association of materialistic people, you have to be careful. Even in the preaching field, that sometimes we become affected. If we're not careful, even though we're preaching to people, we can become affected by their bad habits or their bad attitudes or wrong mentality. But anyway, it's a good question, and I would say that as you become more Krishna conscious, you will see, you'll influence people more. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, how do you know who is a Vaishnava? He said, you know, because a Vaishnava is a touchstone. And as a touchstone, he is able to change the hearts of materialistic people. So that's how it works. He changes their hearts. So more advanced devotees, will be able to change the heart of other people just by his physical presence, just by his smile, just by his being there, by his chanting. So the more you're Krishna conscious, the more influence, positive influence you'll have on people. Even if you don't say anything to them, still. Better you say something, but still your consciousness will affect them. Okay. Any other questions? The root cause of devotional service is what? Who knows? What's the answer? Who knows out there? The root cause of bhakti is what? The root cause. Well, what a word, the root cause. You'd probably want to know the root cause. Yeah, someone's giving a lecture and he's telling you, the root cause of blank, blank. And the blank, blank is what you came to hear about. Oh, you pay attention, the root cause, yeah. So the root cause of bhakti is association with devotees. So how important is the association of devotees? Well, you don't get bhakti without it. That's pretty important, isn't it? I would think, isn't it? The root cause of something is the root cause. Doesn't get any more rooty and causey than that. Correct? So always have to remember that. And some of us may have a nature to want to be more reclusive or more isolated. That's okay. Still, we always need to connect with some devotees that we can relate with, because the root cause of devotional service is association. And so then some devotees will say, Well, what does association with devotees mean? Does it mean we go out and play basketball together and I'm doing sadhu sangha? We go out and play football together, I'm doing sadhu sangha. We go to the movies together, I'm doing sadhu sangha. Not exactly. It means we engage in Krishna conscious activities together, activities which inspire our bhakti. It's not really sangha if the association is not inspiring us in Krishna consciousness. That's not what association means. We discuss Krishna. We discuss how to advance in Krishna. We discuss how to inspire ourselves in Krishna consciousness. We discuss how to give Krishna to others. That's sangha. We engage in service together. That's sangha. We do kirtan together. That's sangha. That's the idea. Sangha is not going bowling together. That's what I mean. If you're going to have to go bowling, better go bowling with a devotee. Well, I don't know. Maybe better not drag another devotee with you. So, but that's not what we mean by sadhu sangha. Of course, that's better. Some sangha, no matter what, is better than no sangha, I suppose. You could say that. But you understand the principle. Nityananda, Pallavi is asking about Nityananda. Nityananda is Balaram. So Krishna Balaram and Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, same. And Nityananda, Balaram is the original guru, so Nityananda represents him. And Nityananda is more merciful than Mahaprabhu. So we're always praying for the mercy of Mahaprabhu, but really we're praying for the mercy of Nityananda. And we get that mercy Then we get the mercy of Mahaprabhu. And then, if we get the mercy of Mahaprabhu, everything is wonderful. But Prabhupada said, how do you get the mercy of Nityananda? He said, Nityananda saved Jagai and Madhai, the very degraded persons. And he said, so if you preach or you help other Jagais and Madhais, then you get the mercy of Nityananda. So, ignorance is a wonderful facility for us, because there's so many people in ignorance and we can serve them. We can serve Mahaprabhu by serving them, by helping them become Krishna conscious. So that's another kind of sangha, but that's a spiritual sangha. And we also need that. We also need people who are in ignorance so we can teach them about Krishna, because when we teach them about Krishna, we get Krishna's mercy. And by teaching people about Krishna, it helps us remember Krishna. So it's not bad that they're non-devotees. It's bad that we make friendship to enjoy materially with non-devotees. But it's very good that there are non-devotees who are interested in Krishna, because they bring out our Krishna consciousness. We actually need them. We thrive on them. It inspires us to help them become Krishna conscious. Right? Balaram is not a reincarnation. Balaram is a first expansion of Krishna. Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Vishnu and Narayan, they all come from Krishna. And so Balaram is his first expansion, Krishna's brother. And so when Mahaprabhu comes, he's a combination of Radha and Krishna, and Nityananda is Balaram, Krishna's eternal brother. This is called Vishnu Tattva. This is another category. This is Krishna's category. So Krishna can expand in different ways for different functions. But Balaram's, he's the first expansion. He's the original, Krishna's brother, just as there's Krishna. And Prabhupada says, Bhagavatam says, there's really no difference between Krishna and Balaram, except Krishna's black and Balaram's white. Other than that, they're identical. So it's basically like Krishna's twin. But he has certain functions in the service of Krishna. Okay, we have 3 more minutes to associate with one another. Yeah, oh, yes, 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 yes. Now we have 3 minutes. I can tell you how to associate. You can come to Alachua Friday and join us at the sadhana retreat. We're having 1 hour from here. Many, many devotees are coming together. We're going to spend a weekend together, and we'd like you to come. And what are we going to do? We're going to associate, and we're going to tap into the power of Sangha. Srila Prabhupada said devotional service cannot be successful, cannot be perfect, cannot be relishable without the association of devotees. So this retreat is going to be perfect, relishable, and successful. And if you'd like to come, all you have to do is go to bhaktilife.org, and on the top of that page you will click where it says register or learn more about the sadhana retreat, and you can sign up. You can pay online with a credit card. It's not expensive. We made it affordable. Or you can pay when you get there. All the information is on the website. I'm going to be there. Lakshmi Moni, many of you know Mother Lakshmi Moni, she's going to be there. Many of you know Badahari, he's going to be there talking about japa and kirtan and doing kirtan. And a lot of nice devotees will be there, a lot of nice prasadam will be there, a lot of nice Krishna katha will be there. So get on the first bus or plane to Alachua, and we will see you on Friday evening. Starts at 7 o'clock Friday evening. Come hungry earlier and you can have prasadam. Okay, well, thank you all for coming, and we will see you later. Next week, Hare Krishna.